doesn't work if you want to help the women. Many people actually think, there's a lot of people out there who think, but it's not true, that if you legalize prostitution, it will help the women and will get rid of the criminals. But evidence and proof, we now have proof that that it doesn't work. We see in the Netherlands they're rethinking their legislation because they have a huge amount of trafficking, a huge amount of criminality, and it actually doesn't help the women. The same in Germany and the same in parts of Australia where they have legalized it. When you legalize something, it normalizes it. It gives dignity to the pimps. They become businessmen. But still, on a daily basis, it remains abusive to the women. It becomes exploitative. It is harmful. It is inherently harmful. And it is inherently abusive to those who are in the sex trade. Having people coming every day using their bodies is harmful. And if something is harmful, the fact that you legalize it cannot take that harm away. And it doesn't take the harm away. And as one of the police officers said this week, he said, you don't find someone is a baker one day and suddenly becomes running a brothel the next day. No, it's criminals that get involved. And even in countries where they have legalized the sex trade, they still find that a lot of these criminals are only paying a percentage of their so-called taxes, and there's still a lot of criminality going on. It doesn't work. And if people really, because usually it's because people think, oh, we want to help the women, so legalize it. If you really want to help the women, then decriminalise it for those selling, but criminalise the buyers. And also what is good, and the police in Sweden and Norway, when they were over during the week, they actually said they have a much, much better relationship with the women on the street or in the apartments because they're not afraid of being arrested, and they would report crimes much more, and also that they would give a lot more intelligence because they're not afraid. Anymore. So it fights criminality. Also police in Sweden and in Norway would refer women to social services and try and get them supports and help. So it's a much more positive piece of legislation for those who find themselves vulnerable and being sold within the sex trade.
What about, you know, there has been something of a glamorization of prostitution, if you like, with Belle de Jour and films like that and blogs like that, you know, that idea of an empowered woman taking control of her life.
If you are in prostitution and selling yourself, there is no power. There might be a false sense of power. You may get some money, but the majority of women is abuse. It is exploitative. It's not usually a career choice. It's what we have found is most women will get in, if they do have any choice, they get involved in prostitution at a time of vulnerability or a time of crisis. But then they find, and they may have thought, I'll just be in it for a couple of weeks. I need to make this money or get out of this situation. And then I'll get away from the prostitution after a month or after 3 months. But what women then say to us, my God, I was there for 7 years or there for 20 years. I couldn't get out. I couldn't see a way out. To survive in the sex trade, women often say to us that I had to convince myself that I was in control and that I was control my own body and had power because I had to give myself some sense of dignity. It was all I could hold on to. And I couldn't allow myself to see the truth that actually I wasn't at all in control here of the situation, because often women who are in street-based prostitution, they may take a physical substance to numb what they're doing, but women in off-street prostitution often do not take any tablets or drugs or alcohol, so they need to face it cold, and so they justify what they're doing and they put on a very hard front. And then women say to us that you must play this game, you put on a lot of makeup, look very good, you look as if you're happy, because they say to us, it's about selling yourself and nobody will buy an unhappy hooker. So you have, but they have false names, and they give the people who buy them false names. They make up fantasies that they're loving them and enjoying them, but it's not the truth. And again, often when women come to Ruhama and they're wanting to get out of the service, and even when they do get out of the service, they say to us, I lost my true self.
You'd mentioned earlier about men's attitudes, but there is something, I guess, quite strange or perverse or ingrained in men's attitudes that they have this right to women, either through prostitution or in milder forms through pornography. How do you think that can be addressed at a more fundamental level?
Well, I think there are a lot of attitudes. For instance, some people believe that, for instance, some men see it as it's their right to buy a woman, to buy sex. They don't see anything wrong with it. They see it as part of male privilege. There are some people who believe that if there weren't prostitutes, that more women would be raped. That's a nonsense. I think it probably increases sexual violence, because if some people are acting out in such an abusive way towards one woman, then they could do it to anybody. There are people that see it as two consenting adults or a piece of harmless fun. So there's a lot of attitudes out there, and I think they need to be challenged with the realities that of the sex trade. The sex trade is murky, it's violent, not an equal transaction. Usually those that are selling are much more powerless than those that are buying. So I think people, if they really want to look at this and really want to face facts, but sometimes people don't want to hear the facts of the reality because maybe they are benefiting some way from the sex trade. There's a lot of money to be made in the sex trade, and there could be some people who even indirectly, maybe renting out places, that could be benefiting from allowing the sex trade to exist. And we know that some of the buyers are obviously very powerful and wealthy men in Irish society, and they want attitudes to prevail that will allow them to continue their behaviour.